today. Detoxification, practical mom level. That's what you need, isn't it? This was by request. Now, if you want high-level, cutting-edge scientists to be interviewed, I guess I could do that. But other people do that. Dave Asprey does that. You want stuff practical for your kids that you can do today, right? And that's what I'm going to give you. And it's an important message, and I'm trying to help you out. Please do come to the website, Overcoming Learning Problems, and find resources for you. There's a whole year-long protocol, lots of other things, and tell your friends. Welcome back, everybody, and good morning. We're going to talk about detoxification today. So I'm working really hard for you, trying to keep 15 irons in the fire and get everything done correctly. But I ran into a woman who asked me about detoxification for her child who was diagnosed with autism. And at that moment, I couldn't think of anything. And as I was driving, have I not done anything on detoxification? Yes. We talked with Dr. Ted Edwards about that when we were in the radio studio. So that was 2009, 10, 11, anyway. And he said, well, he didn't knock the boxes that you could buy in health food store, chelation was the way to go. Now, Ted Edwards is an expert on anti-aging. And if a child with autism came to him, he would refer him to, and at that time, Andy Wakefield's clinic. That clinic still exists with another name. I think it's called the Johnson Center. And they're going to work on detoxification. But this was a mother and a very small child. And I'm not sure that chelation therapy is going to work. Meaning I don't know how practical it is to depend on an IV therapy for a very small child. So let me tell you what I know. Again, not a doctor, proud of that, and not a provider except of information. So these are a number of things that you can check out. Once again, you know, mom level protocol and knowing what to ask the appropriate wellness professional, and we'll talk about health and faith a little bit later. But today we're going to talk about detoxification. First, I want to tell you that this is a very wise question and an important consideration. Because back when we started knowing something about autism, so I was looking for information about autism back in 2004, 2005, because somebody had said one of my grandsons had it. Well, you know, anyway, I went up to the UT library and found really nothing. But it wasn't very many years then I was able to find something, and it must have been 06. Or at the latest 07, that my physician gave me a book that had citations to peer-reviewed journal and had years of research. Mostly, the most helpful journal was the Journal of Applied Nutrition rather than JAMA or something, you know, medical. But anyway, and it was a meta-analysis of all the research, and then it was summarized on the back cover. And so I'm going to give you the quick takeaway of the summary was it was clear at that point that what was giving children relief of all the various things that were tried, taking them off of gluten and casein was giving them relief, and chelation therapy was giving them relief. Chelation therapy is detoxifying from, well, particularly heavy metals. And chelation therapy is normally done in a doctor's office with an IV. It is possible to do oral chelation therapy. However, you can easily get into a demineralization situation. And so even though it is possible to do that for yourself, that's a little risky. I think it's probably better to be in connection and under the supervision of a wellness professional who knows what they're doing with this. So chelation therapy. So at that time, that's what we knew. And since that time, I think we have more and more justification, although this is not an update on the latest research. But my understanding is that we continue to think that we have a toxicity problem that makes sense with the anecdotal stories, that we have so many people who are showing problems after they get a vax, because the vax is going to have aluminum, etc. So, and why that there is a pushback, because it's the needle that broke the camel's back. We're in a toxic soup all the time, but when you inject who knows what, but in particularly aluminum adjuvant, which is intended to stimulate the immune system and so forth, but that molecule may be too big for the small tubules of the baby circulatory system. And so we may be, Dr. Malden suggests that we are getting strokes, that these vaccinations are giving strokes. This is not news, folks, right? So way back in 08, 09, whatever, Dr. Malden's research was out there. And if you look at people, you notice that almost all Americans will have one eye smaller than another. And in third world countries, you don't see this. So, or not vax people, you're not likely to see this, but you are. And people are not looking for strokes in babies, but Dr. Malden took pictures. And I thought what he posted was compelling, probably not on the website now. But anyway, and then many other people, including Dr. Wakefield, were suggesting that there are other problems in terms of causation of autism. And from the meta-analysis, it looked like the cause was the toxicity, because there is not a good argument why gluten or casein is causing it, but rather because of the digestive problems and the glutathione reuptake problems, these children are not digesting this well. Since then, because so many other people have gluten intolerance, maybe there is something. Because we have hybridized and treated wheat, maybe there is something, and same with milk. So it looks like the toxicity is the number one suspect when it comes to autism. And we know for sure that toxicity is the number one suspect when we talk about the general malaise of aging. Dr. Ted Edwards was on here on the broadcast saying that most of the things that we think are usual aging is really toxicity. And so he was conducting chelation therapy in his office for seniors. And I went to his retirement party, and a young 70-plus man accosted me and told me how much better he felt and how great chelation therapy was. And nobody was contradicting that. Boy, he had some evangelists there at the party. And completely unelicited, you know, not particularly elicited, but people were very happy with their results. So it is an important topic. Now, you may want to discuss chelation therapy with your provider. I am not going to talk any more about that except to tell you that it exists. However, the question clearly becomes, is this right for a very small child? And so this is what I can respond to that. First off, there is long-standing, what would you call it, evidence or a lot of testimonials that the Feingold diet has helped many, in many cases. Now, you can get the book, The Feingold Diet. It was available in the 80s, and basically, it's an elimination diet. And my understanding of it is that it helps pinpoint what a child is allergic to. Okay, that's why it was developed back in late 70s or early 80s. So even in the 80s, people were fairly well familiar with the Feingold diet, and I think it lacks some promotion, but I think it's still very good, and it would help identify allergies and any kind of sensitivities. And in the process, the body might be able to cycle through and get some of the toxins out of the body. So the body is simply created to excrete, in several different ways, toxins. Problem is, if you have too many toxins, the body can't excrete it fast enough. So if you eliminate things that are, while you're doing the elimination, you know, you're just giving your child very simple to digest things, then more is able to come out in their poop. Okay, so that's one step. And then the second step is you're going to be able to find, because you're identifying one item at a time. So for instance, they're on a very simple diet and you introduce bananas. Okay, are you having any trouble with bananas today, tomorrow, the third day? No, okay. Now let's introduce oatmeal. Any trouble with oatmeal today, tomorrow, the third? No, okay. Then we can add chicken, okay? And when you have an instance of a reaction, then you'll know that that particular thing is giving trouble. And so that's the general logic. And you'd be surprised at what you come up with. Because of the elimination diet, then when that allergen or negative stimulant is introduced, there is a normally a greater response. And so it's a little more obvious. However, I think some things might not show up immediately. And so maybe you'll have difficulty because at a certain point, you're going to want to give your kid food, but and a variety of food. But I certainly know people who just found it invaluable when they're trying to figure out what was wrong for their child. And I also know adults who go on it who just found it invaluable for their own health. Okay. And I have heard some other things. For instance, I had a friend and a friend group whose child ate some paint chips. It was a wealthy family, and you know, they were, I don't know what, probably flipping a house or something, and this child got out of sight, and they used applesauce, and the child, you know, a lot of applesauce seemed to help the child eliminate. Now, the child already was in perfect health and had a great environment, normally, except for that particular day. The child's grown up, it's beautiful, intelligent, etc. Now, there are also some herbs that can give some gentle elimination, both to increase the solids in the poop and also in the urine. So I'll give you some links on the website at overcominglearningproblems.org so that you can investigate that. That would be herb medicine.
All right. And I also remember back when we seemed to not know anything about autism. Remember I told you my doctor gave me this book. Well, the AMA pocket guide at that point on that in that year say we know nothing. And I really take issue with the conventional wisdom of they're there, resign yourself, this is the way it is, you know, and stupid false things like, oh, we always had this, we didn't recognize, that's not true. All right, so let's get some fact base. Okay, and but back then I remember another group of friends were very, very excited about a film that documented one family's journey and to help their son, and they ended up in Mongolia with a shaman, you know, out beyond the power grid, and the child was helped. But the point at which we knew that the child had turned the corner was a episode of good pooping. So I submit to you that it was the simple diet and the non-toxic environment rather than the ministrations of the shaman. Unless you think that autism is created by demons. I don't think that's I don't buy that. Okay, so I'm going to say that detoxification is very important. Also, we've had on the broadcast the Brain Balance folks. Interestingly, I just checked their website, and they're referencing different scientists than they were when we interviewed them. But at any rate, their program starts with a nutritionist. Okay, so detoxification is important. So I hope I haven't belabored that point. So I know you want me to get into, okay, so how do we do it? Well, fine gold chelation, but what are you going to do at the doctor mom level? I realized, okay, applesauce, great. I realized that there are a lot of anecdotal stories about people getting healed from cancer and a variety of other things from the macrobiotic diet. There is a place in Austin called the East West Center, and they have provided macrobiotic diets for, you know, meals for many years, and there are a lot of stories about people getting healed. Now, they don't make this claim, but why is that? I think probably because it's a vegan diet with organic food, that adults are getting healed from it because their body is able to detox. Now, let me define what this is and tell you practically how it's possible to implement. And anyway, you'll see that it's gentle, not harmful, certainly on the short run. And so you'll see why I think this is within the realm of practicality. So the macrobiotic diet is a diet that was founded on yin and yang principles from China, whatever. It was articulated and introduced in the United States by Michio Kushi. Michio Kushi, M-I-C-H-I-O. K-U-S-H-I, who's a Japanese, and I suppose could be, oh, and also George Osawa, O-H-S-A-W-A, also promoted by George Osawa. I think he's the one that East West Center follows a little more. Anyway, and of course this became quite popular with some adults in the 60s and 70s and so forth. The way that I have seen it implemented is that it is vegan, although theoretically you could balance, you know, meat's just very, very young, I guess. Anyway, it's also very acidic. So the standard American diet's very acidic and has a lot of milk, meat, grains, and coffee or tea. That's the standard American diet, which puts you very acidic. But if you eat the macrobiotic diet, it's much more alkaline, which is not what the Asians are talking about, but in fact that happens. Okay. So the way I saw it implemented is you're balancing the green and the orange. So a typical meal at East West Center, for instance, is you have some kabocha squash, very dark orange, very nutritious. It's a squash with firm flesh from Japan. And then you have a bunch of greens, lightly steamed. Okay, so not slimy spinach, but, you know, maybe kale, maybe dino kale that people kind of criticize. It's been waved over the hot water. Which is not exactly true, but lightly cooked. And then some bean or lentil, so maybe there'll be a scoop of black beans and then maybe a small scoop of brown rice, right? So you have a lot of squash and greens and some beans and grain. So very, very little grain by contrast. And so typically when we eat beans in Texas, we have a bowl full of beans. Okay, but this is not that. Okay, and then a fresh green salad, and you have some dressing that's made out of nuts. You probably have some pickle on that. No, you do have some pickle on that plate, probably a little bit of pickled ginger or a little pickled radish on your salad, and the dressing is made probably from some kind of high lignin oil and possibly some vinegar. Maybe you have some sun cheese that's dolloped on the black beans. Sun cheese is made out of oil and not seed oil, but you know, maybe olive oil and sunflower seeds that have been processed in a certain way, so it tastes a little bit more like cheese. But it's sunflower seeds, and you know, it's nice and creamy. Or possibly instead of that, you have some quote-unquote gravy on your greens, because if you're going to eat that much greens, if you're going to eat a pound of greens a day, you get tired of it. So gravy. And so one of my favorite recipes for greens gravy with, quotation marks around it, would be almond butter, umeboshi vinegar, which so is plum vinegar from Japan, and water. Yeah. So these kind of gravies are very important because you get certain enzymes and gamma linoleic acid, but fatty omega acids. Okay, so you've got to have these oils added too. If you have just beans and greens for a long time, no. Okay, so I'm saying for 30 days. If you try to do this forever, what happens is you get sloppy, you forget the gravies, and you end up too alkaline. And boy, that's very unusual. Most doctors would never have seen that situation, but it can happen. Okay, but the idea is to use this diet for like 90 days or whatever. Really, you are not going to be harmed. Now, children need more fat and more meat in a relative proportion, more protein and more fat than adults do in proportion. So even then, I would be very careful. Be sure that your child is getting enough omega fatty acids to build their brain and enough oil too. So these, you know, saying, oh, we'll just give the standard American diet and have low fat, you know, and giving your kids low fat milk. That's so stupid. So mother's milk is high in fat. Okay, so that might be or you could take the macrobiotic diet and then add some protein to it for your child, like maybe some salmon. Take off all of the dark meat of the salmon, because that's where the toxins are. So even today, I use some salmon, and if I'm having a salmon steak, hopefully it's organic, meaning from the ocean, not farm salmon, because farm salmon has crud in it and also coloring to make it look. All right, so good Pacific salmon, and then Atlantic salmon is actually farm-raised. There are no salmon that live in the Atlantic. So, and besides which, my doctor said, never eat tuna. So if your child is autistic, particularly, I would say stay away from tuna. So anyway, I'm not telling you what to do. I am throwing out ideas for you to investigate. So investigate the macrobiotic diet, and obviously, you're going to keep your child away from whatever toxicities you can. All right, that will bring up
the whole discussion about aluminum. I mentioned aluminum in vaccines, but you know, we use aluminum foil all the time. Why do we do that? Why do we put aluminum foil on our food and then put it in the oven? Because somebody forgot to tell you that aluminum is very toxic. We used to make cooking pots out of aluminum, and the advantage was that they weren't heavy, but you're boiling stuff in aluminum? No. So let me, no, not a good idea. I'm going to, now that's controversial, but that's my decision. I'm going to put up some links, which I have not vetted, but I'm going to put up some current discussion about aluminum. And I think Epoch Times is as good a source for reporting as any place. And at least one of them came from Epoch Times. But let me tell you this story from a friend of mine. This was probably late 70s when this happened. He was at a retreat, mostly Americans, but it was in Switzerland. And I'm not going to tell you the topic. But anyway, people who were supposedly interested in health, although it was not a health conference. And the participants took all of the rooms in two small hotels side by side. And everybody in one was getting sick and everybody in the other was not. And my friend, kind of boldly, I think, went in, just barged into the kitchen and checked what they were cooking in. And sure enough, they were cooking in aluminum pots. And he took their aluminum pots. And when they started cooking in the other pots, the steel, stainless steel pots, no problems. So I think that's quite unusual for the results to be that dramatic. Here, regularly healthy adults, and all of a sudden they get sick from aluminum pots as if they had the flu. That, I think that's unusual. Also, I don't recommend just stealing people's pots. But anyway, it worked, and it really was an eye-opener to that movement and who was hosting that. So I recommend that you do everything you can to take away toxicity from your children. And there's so many toxic things in the environment today. Okay? So that's my mom-level suggestion. Also, good sleep and good hydration. Obviously, you want to have some filtered water for the child. And I think it's counterintuitive that good sleep actually helps detoxify, but is very, very important in lots of ways. And of course, detoxing the mental environment, the spiritual environment, is also very important. I just saw a citation to a scientific article that said, basically, relaxed patients heal better. Well, yeah, if you're stressed out, okay. So if that's true for adults, it's probably true for children. So in today's world where we can be fixated on either news or video games or real life events that are stressful, we want to, I'm not saying 100%, insulate children so that they think they live in a, you know, nirvana already, but basically don't let their environment be overly stressful, okay? And take care of yourself too. Mom, grandmom, caregiver, teacher, take care of yourself too. Bless your heart. I know that's not easy. Okay, so I've run over time, so I'm going to pretty much stop there. I am going soon to talk about dentistry, because that's a huge injection, that's not the word I want, but of toxicity. We can, a huge source of toxicity for most Americans, and I've got some good resources there. I never know if I should do series or two series at a time. Okay, but hang in there with me because I don't want to get to be too Johnny One Note and fire out everybody who's interested in a different topic. Okay, but hang in there with me. We can't help everybody in the same 28 and a half minutes. Okay, but I bless you. I bless you for caring about your children. I bless you for inquiring. I bless you for letting me share what I do know. And today you can investigate so much more than we ever could before. So you can just log into PubMed yourself. Yes, you can. So you can get hold of peer-reviewed journals. And that's the best we've got, folks. It's not 100%, right? Because there is, you know, some politics, office type politics that go in to what gets published or not. But nevertheless, it should be, it's the best that we have. Because other scientists look at this and sign off and say, yes, this is a scientific study. So it's a whole lot better than just going on the internet, which you do know that platforms censor and point you. We know this. Okay. So you're going to have to work a little, but hallelujah, we can't do that. Okay. So I bless you, and may you and yours increase. May your offspring be taught of the Lord, and great be their shalom. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Great Shalom broadcast with your host, Sharon Sarles. Sharon is an author, educator, minister, parent, and grandparent committed to sharing the understanding of God's love and desire that all children experience optimal well-being in this generation and the generations to come.
I know you want to get my Dangerous Times Secrets to Victory for Parents and Educators. You need it. It will revolutionize the way you deal with your children or teach your class. I guarantee it. Vital Teaching, 4 CDs in a set, $50. Write me at P.O. Box 971, Cedar Park, Texas 78630.
Sharon would love to pray with you for your children. In fact, it would be an honor for her and her prayer team to bring you and your loved ones to the throne of grace. Just email your urgent prayer request to info@greatshalom.org or write to the Great Shalom Broadcast, P.O. Box 971, Cedar Park, Texas 78630. God says, where two or more are gathered together, I am there. God hears and answers prayer.
I do want to mention to you another project, and that is my Teach a Child Change a Nation. I've got a course on how to start a licensed child care center. And also, I will help you start a school or a micro school if you need help. So just go to teachachildchangeanation.org and check out what I have for you there. If you've got a church building sitting empty, you have such a huge opportunity. And right now, there is such a huge, huge, huge need. Even if you're for homeschooling, even if you say all of the children in your church are taken care of, fine and dandy, but the ones down the block are not. And so here is a mission for you, and a mission that can pay for itself. And lots of pastors aren't thinking about it because they are rightly concerned about liability, persecution, et cetera, et cetera. It may have even escaped their notice because they are a male. But you know how important this is. So check this out. Mention this to people who might be interested. It might be the pastor's wife. Might be someone who wants a business. Really, folks, I need to depend on you to help share the word. I'm not a marketer. I need you. I need you to share this on social media, just with people who are interested, and to like
subscribe, okay? Like everybody else. Thank you very much. Be blessed.